Hello, everybody. It's John Marks, the editor of CopsAlive.com, and welcome to another edition of Cops Alive Audio Bulletin. Very pleased today to provide a special guest for you. Our guest today is Chris Allen, the president of an outstanding organization called Hunting for Heroes. Chris and the other founder of Hunting for Heroes are both police officers. They provide resources such as recreational therapy and counseling to disabled law enforcement officers who were injured in the line of duty. Chris, thank you very much for what you're doing, and welcome to our program.
John, thanks for having me. I really appreciate the opportunity.
No problem. I would really love to jump right into this. Why don't you tell us a little bit about your organization and how it got started, and then we'll talk about what you guys are doing.
Sure. Well, our organization is called Hunting for Heroes, and we are the only organization in the country that is serving the disabled law enforcement community at the national level. And how we got founded, I'm a big outdoorsman, and Chuck Bowles and I, my partner, were actually working on developing a hunting television show with a law enforcement undertone to it. But as we were putting our show together, we were looking out for organizations that were serving the disabled law enforcement officers, because through research we found there's about 5,000 disabled officers every year that medically retire due to some disability. So obviously there had to be an organization out there that was looking after those guys. So we went to find that organization, and when we couldn't find it, we were very taken back by that. Much to my surprise that there was no organizations out there serving the disabled police officers that are serving this country. So with that information, you know, we called a few of the injured officers that we knew and asked them what services they needed and what were they missing out on. And the number one thing that all of these guys mentioned was they just missed that sense of brotherhood that we all share as law enforcement officers. And we felt it was our duty to help find a way to provide that to them again.
Wow. Yeah, I've heard, and I want to emphasize that, you know, we all assume that if we get hurt in the line of duty, everything's going to be fine. And that really isn't proving to be the reality. And it is, and I'm glad that you're providing a wake-up call, because I think law enforcement in the United States really needs to realize that there may not be a parachute there for you. And, you know, we as a profession need to sort of pitch in and do something to take care of our own. I mean, I read it on your website. I've always said it. We make a lot of promises about taking care of our own, but we don't always do that.
Right. No, and it's funny that you mentioned that. Actually, the motto that we have coined is taking care of our own, because our organization was founded by and is operated by almost exclusively law enforcement officers at this stage of the game. But no, what you're referring to in terms of if you do get into the line of duty, on rare occasions, you know, the department will take care of you and help you with benefits and services. But more often than not, what we're seeing across the country is guys are even being either medically retired or even terminated, especially for the smaller departments. Guys are being terminated when they run out of sick leave.
Yeah.
Just because the smaller departments can't carry them on the book, and you're medically disabled, you're retired, or not retired, but you're an active cop, and you're going through all these surgeries or amputations, or you're in a wheelchair, and then you lose your job and your benefits. That happens more often than not around the country, and that's something that really, really caught me off.
Yeah, it's kind of scary, and you know, I feel for the guys that are out there, because they feel completely abandoned. Their friends don't know what to do with them, and you know, it's tough.
No, and I agree. And like you said, and that's even us as friends. You know, you don't really know how to handle even when your buddy goes through this process. You know, where are they at physically, psychologically? There's a lot of things that they go through, and there's, you know, the depression rate in the law enforcement profession. I mean, let's be honest, it's very, very high. The suicide rate is, I believe law enforcement is the second highest profession with a suicide rate in the country, which is a staggering number.
Yep.
And what we found is when these officers are injured, and for any of us that have been into an officer-involved shooting, you know that outpour of support for the initial day and weeks is overwhelming. You get support from everywhere.
Right.
But as we all did with September 11th, as time goes on, you know, time fades away, so does that support. So we found that when these guys, that's 6 months, 8 months after their injury, it really starts to sink in what their new life is going to be like. And it, some guys, it's really hard for them to handle. You know, they lose their profession. They lose the ability maybe to walk or to do their activities, to play with their kids. And the depression really hits home with them. So we've taken it upon ourselves to kind of bring these guys out of the shadows of the depression and get them back out, get them in activity, and get them involved in doing some things, and show them that even though they are disabled and may not be able to work, they can still be productive members of society, and they can still get out and have hobbies and do things that they used to enjoy before they became disabled.
Yeah. Well, tell us a little bit about Hunting for Heroes.
And Hunting for Heroes in and of itself is what we're doing right now in our initial program is we set up a hunting camp environment. And right now we're doing 3 to 4 events a year kind of based on our funding level. And we bring in anywhere from 5 to 10 injured officers at a time. And we take care of all expenses. It's an all expenses paid trip for the officer, their spouse, their children. And we bring all these families together. And like I said, we set up the hunting camp environment where we enjoy the outdoors. We do some hunting, some fishing, just some general nature activities. And in that, these guys get to connect with other injured officers. So they kind of create their own support network amongst each other, mm-hmm. which is something that they really, really benefit from. Because, as you know, with officers that have been injured, there may not be one disabled officer in every city. May not even for 100 miles. So they may not have anybody else that can really understand what they're going through, both physically and or emotionally. So we feel when we bring these guys together and they can share the common bond of, you know, being disabled and they can understand where each other's coming from, especially from the emotional strain and stress that they're under, it really kind of helps them turn the corner when they see guys that may not be doing as well or may be doing very well in their recovery, and they gain strength from each other. And it's really powerful to watch these guys pull each other together and become a little family in and amongst themselves to help each other overcome their disability.
That's awesome. And did I hear you say, or did I read that you do officers and their families?
Yeah, we do officers and their families. You know, we try to have all the children come out because, you know, it's, I think one thing that gets lost in that is, you know, the spouse, you know, may have been a school teacher before or a police officer themselves, and now if you're the disabled spouse, they become a nurse and a single parent for a bulk of the duties. And it's a very difficult transition for them as well. So we always try to give them a little break from the daily grind and kind of let them have a little, you know, 4 or 5 day vacation on us so they can get out and get a little break and just let them know that we appreciate the effort and the sacrifices that they've made to the law enforcement community as well.
Well, you know, and I imagine that they probably build their own support network, too, because it's probably hard for them to talk to anybody. And if they get a chance to meet family members of other disabled officers, that's probably a good support network as well.
It is. Yeah. You know, the families, they really come together. The spouses really connect with each other and talk about some of the struggles, you know, where they see that they're not the only one having to do all the chores, or maybe they get a different feel or a different way to spend it so they can appreciate the sacrifices that they've made to their own career to now care for their husband or wife for that matter.
Yeah.
So it's very unique, the dynamic we have. You know, it's some of the pleasure that I take in this and, you know, some of the comments that we've gotten, feedback from our hunters. When these guys come to us, they think they're really going on a hunting trip, which is they are essentially, but they get so much more out of it emotionally that they ever expected, that it's very overwhelming for them at times. And for me, that's very, very rewarding to see them get that benefit that they may not even know that they need it until they leave our event.
Yeah. Good for you. You know, I looked at some of the pictures on your website, and now may be a good time for you to plug the website, but there's some pretty cool things going on there and some pretty cool toys, I have to point out, that cops love toys. It looks like you found some exceptional toys for some of them.
We did, yeah. You're probably referring to our Action Track Trailer, which is the off-road wheelchairs that we use.
Yeah.
And they're basically a little miniature tank, for lack of a better term, but they will go just about anywhere you can take them. And they're fantastic. The officers that are in wheelchairs love them. They can go places they never dreamed of.
Mm-hmm.
The downside to those chairs is they're very, very expensive.
That looks like a pretty
we're working on right now. Yeah, we're actually working on trying to purchase 3 new chairs for an upcoming turkey hunt, and that's part of our fundraising efforts that we're doing at this time.
Excellent.
But yeah, so people can visit the website. It's huntingforheroes.org, and there you can do a lot of different things. One, you can view some of the hunts. You can see some of the testimonials that we have. You can donate which we're always in desperate need of. And again, you can look at some of the upcoming events. You know, we're based in Missouri, and we do a lot of our events in and around the Midwest, but we're working on branching out to, we have a very strong following in Georgia, as we're setting up some offices down there, and we have a strong following in New York, and we're working on trying to go to the West. But what's unique about our program is our message is spreading across the country. Currently, we have 45 officers on our waiting list, and those officers represent 17 different states.
Wow.
So, I mean, it's not a local Midwest phenomenon. It's something that's going on across the country that these guys are really looking out for some support, and we're really the only people out there offering it right now. So, you know, I would challenge your listeners and the law enforcement officers that are out there to take our motto, taking care of our own, and to get involved with us or an organization similar. But we have volunteer opportunities for officers around the country in terms of maybe selling raffle tickets or doing things in their neighborhoods to benefit Hunting for Heroes, that we could desperately use their support. And they can actually sign up as a volunteer on our website there at huntingforheroes.org.
Excellent. Yep. I'm going to definitely spread the word. I've got some people in mind, actually, that might be perfect for helping. So I'm going to do what I can to help you. And, you know, let me be the first to say thank you. And, you know, God bless you for what you're doing. You're doing what we've all promised to do, and yet somehow let that part of our mission fall by the wayside. And you and your co-founder have obviously made it your mission to not let that slip. And you deserve our thanks, and certainly we salute you for what you're doing.
Well, I appreciate that. Like I said, you know, we started this as a small hobby. We didn't realize how big and how needed the program was when we put it together. And since we've touched the lives of some of these officers, it's become a passion of ours now that, it's growing like wildfire, and we're really looking forward to take this message around the country, because there's so many officers out there that need our support and need our assistance, and we want to reach those guys. And that's one other thing that I would like to direct your listeners to. If they do know some disabled officers that are out there, we have a hero nomination section on our website, and they can go in there and nominate a hero to add them to our waiting list, and we'll be happy to provide our services to those guys as soon as we're able to.
Excellent. You know, I don't want to put you on the spot, and I don't want to violate any trust or confidentiality, but can you share some stories with us? I think that people need to know, you know, maybe whether you remember some comments that some of the officers made or just some of the experiences they or their families shared with you. I think people need to understand how real this is. Does anything come into your mind that you can share with us?
Yeah, I do. I have two stories that I like to share. The first one is an officer from West Virginia who was involved in an on-duty accident in a marked police car. He was actually involved in an accident with another officer who was off duty at the time. And he was terminated 4 months after his injury. And his department's completely left him high and dry, and he's on his own with no benefits, no insurance, and he's really struggling to even pay the bills at this point. And Mark came out to our event in September, and Mark was overwhelmed by emotion on multiple occasions. And the quote that he used that will stick with me forever is, he said, "You guys made me feel like a cop again."
Wow.
And it may sound like small words, but it was such a powerful experience for him to really appreciate the fact that we are a family, you know. And that's one thing that he mentioned is that, you know, "I've known you guys for a day and a half, but we're family, we're brothers." And it was a very emotional experience for us as for our whole group of volunteers to experience that, you know, again, to showcase that need. And the other story I'd like to share is one that that's really touched me, and it's really kind of driven how I've done business with this organization as we go forward. But one of the first officers that we brought to our event was about a year from his shooting where he was paralyzed. And this officer was actually contemplating suicide right around the anniversary date of his shooting, just because his life had changed. He's now in a wheelchair. He's a quadriplegic. He's divorced. He doesn't see his children near as much. He has no job. He has no hobbies. He just sits at home all day and just loathes himself to death, so to speak.
Yeah.
So the officer came out on our hunt, and just had an absolute fantastic time. And his family came down, his boys got to come, his parents came down, and it completely changed his outlook on life. And he went from being near suicidal to now being an active member with the Hunting for Heroes family. He helps us at our fundraising events. He comes down and he speaks on our behalf from time to time. And one of the stories I like to tell is actually I got a picture from him right around the first of the year this year where him and his boys were actually out hunting on his own. He sparked a passion for him in the outdoors that he could share with his boys. Mm-hmm. And through our program, he learned how, as a disabled person, that he can enjoy the outdoors with his family and make that something that they look forward to every year. So for us, that's kind of taking it full circle from the darks of depression to, completely going full circle and now being a productive father and family member and really taking our mission to heart and giving back to others as well.
Wow. Very powerful stuff. And again, thanks for what you're doing. I'm humbled and I'm embarrassed that as a profession, we don't do a little bit better job, but I'm thankful to know that there are people out there that are caring and are spreading the word. What else would you like to share with us about how people can get involved, or what would you like to reiterate, and what are your plans for this coming year?
In terms of the plans for this coming year, we have a turkey hunt scheduled here in the first weekend of May in Missouri, and we have five heroes from five different states already scheduled to attend that event. And then we have a huge event in September, which is going to be our reunion event, and we're going to have approximately 20 hunters in camp that weekend, which is going to be fantastic. We have signed a deal with a television show called The Sovereign Sportsman that airs on the Pursuit Channel that will be filming our events this year, and airing those on national TV. And one thing I would like to highlight is we just found out last week that we were the winners of the 2011 NRA Public Service Award, which is a great honor for us that we're going to be accepting that award in September of this year at the NRA annual meeting. But if I could drive home one point before I leave, John, sorry to cut you off there, but
right.
If I could drive home one point, I would just say, with our motto being taking care of our own, and as an organization founded and driven by active duty police officers, I would challenge your listeners to find a way to get involved, whether they volunteer in their home state or if they want to travel to our events to see them firsthand. We're always welcome to have guys come in and see us firsthand and really get a taste for what we're doing. So if you want to get involved, it's the website, huntingforheroes.org. Sign up as a volunteer. If you're able to donate, by all means, we would be honored to have your support. But we could use people in every state that could help spread our message for us. So if you want to get involved, sign up on the website and don't be afraid to get involved. Because it's these guys today, but it could be us tomorrow.
Yeah, exactly. Well, Chris, thank you truly for what you're doing, and thank you for your time today. Is there anything else that you wanted to add before we close?
No, John, I want to thank you for your time, and I appreciate it, and thanks for all your listeners for tuning in, and I look forward to seeing them down the road.
Thank you very much. I want to thank Chris Allen, our guest today. He is the president of Hunting for Heroes. He and the other co-founder of this organization are both active police officers, and they are providing some outstanding recreational therapy, counseling, and other activities for disabled law enforcement officers, and they are truly living the mission of taking care of our own, and it's been our honor and pleasure to have them on our program today. I want to invite you to visit their website at www.huntingforheroes.org. There is a way to donate. You can learn more about what they're doing. They've got some photographs of the events they've done in the past. This is an outstanding organization that is truly worthy of your time and of your donations. They are doing what we should all be doing. They are walking the talk. And my thanks to Chris. And I invite you to tune in for another edition of Cops Alive Audio Bulletin. Until then, stay safe out there and keep up the good fight.